Let's see. Now it's on.
You know, if you turn these microphones on, they work. You know, it's just like if you turn the Lord on in your life, it works too, doesn't it? Yeah. Amen. How many of us walking around carrying it but got it on the off switch? Huh? Well, guess what? We're going to do something today, and we got to pray before we even get started. We're going to try to finish 1 Peter. Now, to do this, we got to finish the last part of the fourth chapter and then finish all of chapter 5. And for me to do that, you know, I've been accused. There was a pastor at Litchfield, Dr. Smith, and he said that I was the only preacher he knew that could preach a comma for 25 minutes. So I want to pray that we get three things in our minds here that kind of sum up the letter of 1 Peter, okay? Number one, you can go on. I want you to lock that in your brains. You can go on with Christ. You can lead on, and then you better be aware of. Those are the three things I want you to get today. We're going to go on no matter what. We're going to lead on no matter what. And you better be aware of what surrounds you. That's going to summarize the rest of this letter. You got it? So we're going to what? Go on. Come on, y'all got to wake up. We're going to what?
Go on.
And then we got to lead on. And then we better be what?
Aware of.
We're just going to say aware of, okay? How many of y'all are aware of? A lot of times we walk around and we're not aware of what is surrounding us, okay? Well, let's pray. Lord, help us to the best of our ability. Grab the truth today that we need to grab. And then, Lord, most of all, may we live that truth out in our lives. And, Lord, when the pressure's on, may we not crumble, but may we go through, may we lead on, and may we be aware of who you are and what you are. Lord Jesus, first of all, I just want to thank you that you have forgiven every one of us in this room today. Lord, some of us have received that forgiveness. Others of us are thinking about receiving that forgiveness. And some of us are living in that resurrection power that Eric and them sung so wonderfully about. And so, Lord, may we grab hold that you want to do some great things in our lives today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, you ready? Don't be surprised. How many of you get surprised when people don't agree with what you have going on in Jesus Christ? It amazes me when those who follow Jesus Christ get so upset that somebody disagrees with them. First of all, let me tell you, if you've been made new in Christ, you are not like the others anymore. Everybody get this? Okay, let me tell you something Christianity will not do. Christianity will not blend with the world. And what I see is going on today, especially if you turn on your TVs, I think what we've done is we've gotten a big giant food processor out, and we've taken the truth of God, and we're trying to blend it in with the ideas of the world. It will not fit. It will never fit. It wasn't designed to fit. There is a huge difference between heaven and here. Thank God. Here there is sickness, there is shame, there is guilt, there is pain. In heaven there is none of the above. You see, here is a temporary situation. Heaven is a permanent placement. Here is right now. Heaven is forever and ever. Amen. Now, which way you want to go? Now, here's what happens. When you ask Jesus Christ in your life, I want you to know what happens. You have a time change. How many of y'all remember the time change? How many of y'all feel a little different at every time change? We go to daylight savings or Central Standard. The only people that don't know how to change are from Indiana. They stay the same. See, they're conservative. All right, look, now watch. We got to move with God. We've had a time change. How many of y'all realize that when you put Jesus Christ in your life, you change from being a temporary being to an eternal being? See, while we're still called in our sins, we are temporary. Let me emphasize this. Sin is not a bad thing. It is a deadly thing. That's where we're confused. It'll kill you. Now, when you get forgiven of it, watch this. You and I no longer have death residing in our spirit. Somebody say amen. How many of y'all that excites you? That Jesus Christ died on the cross, forgave us of our sins, lit us up with the Holy Spirit, empowered us with the power of the resurrection, changed our timeline. Yes. So now I don't die, I go on and I get through. Amen. Now with all that going on, listen to this. Dear friends, verse 12, chapter 4. I like that, don't you? He didn't say, those who've been... Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange was happening to you. Dear Hillview, do not be surprised when people say things about you. Expect it. Don't get upset about it. Don't let it thwart your way of living. Be who you are in Christ. Because what matters is not what they say, but what God has said. It doesn't matter what your neighbor says. It matters what God has said. Trust in what God has what? Said. And he goes on. He said, now don't be surprised at this. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. Haven't y'all ever been blessed? I've been blessed. I've heard this about our church. I had a guy come and he said, I tell you what, I'd go to Hillview, but all they talk about is Jesus. I want the deeper things. Now, what he wanted me to do is give him a slate of rules and regulations. Here's where Hillview's a tough church. Who do we always talk about? Who do we put you in front of? Now, people don't want that. Well, you know what people want? They want me to give them a list of 10 rules, and if they follow those 10 rules, then they're a good person and they're a Christian person. Now, you know why they want that? Then their faith depends on a list or a preacher, and they've missed who? Jesus. Legalism, religious legalism, is as dangerous as any fifth of Jack Daniels that's ever been distilled in Lynchburg, Tennessee. They'll both kill you. Because who do they take you away from? Jesus. There you go. You want to stay in Jesus. Good. Now, so don't be surprised. Now, if you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed, for the Spirit of the glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should be not as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. How many of you praise God that you bear the name of Christ in your life? That the Holy Spirit drew you to grace, and the Holy Spirit said, hey, this is for you, and you listened to God, and you said, God, I want you to come into my life. I believe Jesus, you died on the cross. I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm going to live in the power of the resurrection. I'm going to claim the name of Christ. I am a Jesus follower. How many of y'all are glad to be a Jesus follower? But what if the world says that's not popular? That's not cool. Be a Jesus follower. And don't be surprised if they don't agree with you. People don't agree with Jesus. Where they hate, He loves. What they love, He hates. The kingdom of God is not like the kingdom of the world. So you're going to get some resistance. Here's the promise, though. We go on through. Look what he says. He says, for it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now let's get down to business here. How many of you all know you're going to be judged? Yeah, okay, now good. Now this does not say judge one another. This is one of the problems with the church. We like to be God and we like to judge one another. How many of y'all have ever been in one of those churches where they judge everybody? I mean, you walk in if you don't have the right kind of clothes on, you're out. If the preacher doesn't read out of the right translation of the Bible right, if you don't sing the right kind of songs, you're out of line. How many of y'all have ever been through all that jazz? Can you really imagine a God who's created all the universes, all everything that has motion in life, God put into motion? Can you imagine God being confined to such a small judgment scale? God's going to judge with mercy and grace. Now, how many of you know if you're in Jesus Christ, you're all right? Amen. Now, the key is to get in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's right. How many of y'all want to take your good works up to God? There's two things I don't want to take up to God, my good works and my sin. Neither one of them hold much weight. I mean, can you imagine trying to impress God? I mean, it just doesn't work. Well, God, Buttram, how would you impress God? I mean, you got a lot of cows, but you ain't got a cattle on a thousand hills. I mean, can you imagine walking over and say, God, you know what, I was a pretty good farmer. And you were. You said, I had a lot of cattle. God said, you think you had a lot of cattle? Look at all that. Boom. How do you impress God? I mean, if you're a good doctor and you go, well, listen, I could really do some good surgery. And God said, could you open somebody's eyes with mud? What about it, Doc? You ever gone out back there to Allen County, got you some of that red clay, put it on somebody there in the office and said, go wash in the sink? Didn't work, did it? No, you had to get some sterile, you know. Dr. Smith, you ever looked at a dog that was about to give it up and just said, go walk, and it walked? You said walk and it died, didn't it? We are limited. God is unlimited. How many of y'all understand this? You see, when you start dealing with the kingdom of God, God is going to judge us. Here's how we are judged. In Jesus Christ, we are judged forgiven. So one of the most important missions of Jesus' church is to get people to receive the forgiveness of God. Now watch this. Our works don't hold up before God, and we're trying to go good, to really be good. Where does that put you if you are disobedient to God's grace? It puts you in opposition to God. That is always a bad place to be. You don't want to be in opposition to God. Here's what God has said. Everyone will come to know me through my son, Jesus. That means there is no other way into knowing God. You say, well, I got some friends and they're into like this. They get in this group and have like spiritual moments. You can have spiritual moments and not know Jesus. Here's what we forget. Satan himself is a spiritual entity, not a evil entity. Satan will make you feel good to take you to hell. It matters not to him which road you travel to get to your destination. He'll fly you first class or value jet. It doesn't matter. He'll get you through his destination. Jesus, however, is getting us to the destination of heaven. And here's what he says. Don't be surprised. Hang in there. Now look, if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Now this should be our heart. How many of y'all want to see people go to hell? I am glad nobody raised their hand. Thank you. Praise God that nobody here wants to see anybody go to hell. Go ahead and give him an applause that you have the attitude of Christ. You know what? God, let me ask you a question. Y'all think God wants people to go to hell? Talk a little bit. It's summertime. You can talk to me, huh? You think God wants people to go to hell? I don't think he does either. I think if God wanted people to go to hell, he would have skipped the whole Jesus thing. He'd have just left Jesus up there in heaven with them. They'd have had a big heavenly party, because here's what I found. We go to hell naturally. I noticed this when I was a teenager. On Friday night, it was not natural to raise heaven. Have you noticed that? It didn't happen. You get a bunch of guys together, and never on Friday night when a bunch of us guys got together did we say, let's have Bible study. Never happened. Even when I was with my good old church-going, Jesus-loving friends, we looked around and said, okay, how far can we go and still be godly? It's just, heaven's just not a natural flow. You know what I'm talking about? And so we had to have a divine interruption, and that is Jesus. Make sense? And he says, so look at this. He says, so then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful creator and continue to do good. First thing, you're going to go on, stay in Jesus. Now, don't back off of Jesus when the pressure gets on. I'm proud of some people here. Dale Brown, I'm proud of you. As a leader in the school system, with Murley, Tonto by your side, the Lone Ranger and Tonto. Hey, listen, I'm proud y'all didn't back off on prayer. You know why there wasn't any conflict? Because when I watch this, though. Let me tell you what's happening to our nation. The only reason we got all this crazy stuff is because you and I have been locked up in the church too long. I'm serious. Just stand up. Now, and here's the problem. Christians, we go to two extremes. We say nothing at all, or we become obnoxious jerks. You know, I never saw Jesus being obnoxious. He said, this is the way it is, and he said nothing else. He didn't have a protest. He didn't have a rally. He didn't write 50 books on how to stand up. He didn't do a radio show. He just said yes. And I think if we would get to our yes being our yes and our no being our no and our integrity being our integrity and Jesus being our Savior and we never back out of that situation, we would begin to go through and make a difference. Anybody think that way also? Not being obnoxious. Yeah, I'm so tired of our public schools taking a beating of being a place where God's not allowed. That's not true. I bowed my head and prayed over the school lunch every time. You better. Most of the time, now this is primitive school lunches. This is before they had salad bars and pizza bars and steak bars and fajita bars. We had school lunch. Who thought of pizza and corn? Nowhere else in America do you go and say, I'd like some corn with that pizza. But when I went to school, that's why people from the 80s are really messed up. We ate corn and pizza. You know why you had to have an Atkins protein diet later on? Because they carved us up to the max. They didn't give us Ritalin back then. They gave us carbohydrates. That's why by 2 o'clock school was out, whether you wanted it to be or not. Yeah, pizza and corn. I prayed over that. I said, Lord, who knows what this is going to do to the temple you've created. But I'm hungry. I'm going to eat it anyway. Yeah. We pray. Go through. Now, lead on. Chapter 5, verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusting to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Let me draw some truth from this. There are leaders in our church. I thank God for every leader in our church. You know what? They line up with that scripture. The job of leadership is to not tell people what to do. The job of leadership is to encourage people to listen to the chief shepherd. Who is that? Jesus. I love doing pastors' conferences because I remind them that they're not the shepherd. You know, some of these preachers, they think they're the shepherd. I know I'm not a shepherd. Every good shepherd, Jack Fulton knows he's a cattleman. Jack, every good cattleman, what do they got in the truck? Every good cattle person got this in the truck. A cattle person, a cattleman like yourself, what did you always have in the cab of that truck when you had to go herd cattle?
Always had a rope and a gun.
A rope and a gun, and then what else? You know, it may be dangerous, it really may be dangerous asking Jack how he herded cattle. So Jack uses a rope and a gun. Jack doesn't like running, so he just shoots the cow and has steak, all right? Did you have a dog, Jack?
No.
You had a dog. What kind of dog?
Australian
An Australian Shepherd. Yes. Welcome to the role of pastors in the church. We are dogs. Sheepherders. Well, if you watch a sheepdog, what do? They are just getting the flock or the herd to its destination. So they run beside them and yip, 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 bring them that way. Sometimes they just walk with them, trying to teach them which way to walk. We're to be examples as leaders, not lords, but examples of what Christ can do. And people ought to be able to follow your example. If you notice, the Apostle Paul would say this all the time, imitate me and you'll know how to live. You notice I hadn't said that yet. I hope one day that I'll mature enough I can say, imitate these things. And you will find Christ. Right now, I have to say in my life as your shepherd, imitate some of these things, exclude these. But we lead by what? Example. So we got to lead. And really, we lead each other. And leadership is this, encouraging each other to engage with Jesus. That's worth writing down. Leadership is encouraging each other to engage with Jesus, the true shepherd. Now, what does it say? If you lead well, there will be a crown of glory. Anybody here involved in leadership in any form or fashion? If you're married, you're in leadership. If you got kids, you're in leadership. Anybody here involved in leadership? How many of y'all found leadership to be difficult? How many of y'all found this about people? They don't do what you ask them to do. Anybody found that? Lisa Murley, you taught school. Did ever one of your students just say, "Miss Murley, here's my paper. It was on time," or did some of them not do what they were supposed to do? Like if you'd had a student like Pastor Keith Scarborough, you know he'd have had an excuse for not getting his paper in, right? Dog ate it or something, huh? How many of y'all have had that experience? Bert, you coach. That's a leadership moment. In coaching, does every one of your athletes do exactly what you tell them to do in the drill? No. Freddie?
Yeah.
You're a welder. You ran a crew. Now, did every one on that crew, you were the leader, you were the foreperson, right? As the foreman, did they all weld like you told them to weld? Well, what happened to them? Murley, you're a leader. Large organization. Does everybody just, you walk in, "Hello, I'm Tim Murley, this is what we're going to do," and everybody just does it. How many of y'all found that leadership is difficult? It always has been difficult. How many of y'all have had children? Difficult. They even come from your own DNA and they won't listen to you. What do you think about that? Kind of puts you in the same deal with God, doesn't it? We're created in His own image and sometimes we don't what? We don't listen to Him. But in leadership, it says it's worth the struggle because there is a moment of glory coming. And there is, even here on earth. How many of y'all that have worked with kids, there's that one moment eventually, it may be 30 years down the road, and they get it. Wow. Tell me what that's worth. Can you imagine what God must feel like in the heavenly realm, feel like in those moments when we get it here on earth? When we usher in a moment of heaven on earth because we get it. You see, that's what's a lead on. He's saying, shepherds, don't lord over, but encourage with the Spirit and the power of God. And he said, now, young men, how many young men we got here? Young men, listen to this. Young men. Some of them raising their hands and they need to go back to the first part and realize they're suffering. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. Listen, we've lost respect for this. I want to bring this back. I want to show you all this is a biblical principle. Young men, I want you to listen to me. If you want to do well in life, you better listen to those who've walked the road ahead of you. Now, this is a total dodo. To think at 21 years of age or 22 years of age, because you went to college, you know something. Here's what you did in college. You learned to learn. That's all you did. Listen, I don't want a doctor that's only been to college. I don't want a doctor that's only been to medical school. If they are cutting doctor, you know what I'm talking about? They use knives. They have surgery. I want them to have stood by some surgeon that's done a whole lot of those surgeries. True? And I don't want to be their first cut. They've learned. They've been mentored. This is the way we learn. Younger men, listen to some of the older men that have been down that road. If you want to be successful, some people don't want to be successful, but if you want to be successful, here's a good way to be successful. Get to know somebody that has arrived at where you want to be. And they'll tell you how to get there. And then adjust their truth to your personality, and you'll go and you'll do well. But you better listen a little bit. Here's what he's saying. You want to get through this world, you better listen a little bit. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Now, here's what it means to be humble. How many of you realize none of us know it all? But together we'll get it done. See, this is the problem with the church. Now, I want you to hear me. There is one church. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There is one church. We are sadly confused in this in America. Okay? It's not Episcopalians and Pentecostals and non-denominations and Baptists and Methodists. And Lord have mercy, there's 145 different types of Baptists. If I was lost, I'd be so confused I wouldn't know what to do. Can you imagine never have gone to church and you're in your 40s and you get around a bunch of church people, it'll be nothing but confusion. Because they talk about more how they hate each other than they do that they love Jesus. Isn't it true though? You think if you'd never been to church, You know, most of us in here, we've been around the church enough to know that there's just church talk. But those who've never been to church don't know any church talk. Watch this. There's one church. Those who've given their lives to Jesus Christ, that's the church of Jesus Christ. Now, I think the church of Jesus Christ is like Baskin Robbins. Bottom line in Baskin Robbins is what? It's all ice cream. Now, it comes in what? 31 flavors. Now, there's your different churches. And I think we need all the flavors. What do you think? Not everybody's going to like Hillview. We're too loud for some. We're too honorary for some. I don't wear a tie long enough for some. Well, praise God, we got three songs, 3 points in the poem churches that are preaching Jesus. Those are our brothers and sisters. Style should never dictate relationship. Heart should dictate relationship. So we got to come together with one heart, one mind, one accord. Here's what we're waiting on. The church in America has not come to one accord yet. So you can pray all you want to, you can read the Bible all you want to, you can go to all these conferences you want to, but till we as individual believers make a decision to be of one accord, to humble ourselves, to quit criticizing each other, and to come together with the main message, the cross and the resurrection, then you'll have an explosion that influences this nation. That will come. That will come. Make sense? I mean, I don't care if I'm standing by a Methodist, a Pentecostal, Episcopalian. If they're in Jesus Christ, hallelujah, we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are followers of Jesus. Does that make sense? And so we got to be humble. I don't have it all together. You don't have it all together. No church is perfect. How many of y'all have discovered that? Why is the church not perfect? People are in it. If you got rid of the people in the church, it'd be fine. I've never seen Jesus cause a problem in a church. I've never seen the Holy Spirit cause a problem in a church. I've never seen the Word of God cause a problem in a church. I've never seen praise cause a problem in a church. Guess who I've seen cause a problem in a church? People like me and you. I've caused problems in a church before. Any of y'all ever caused problems? I was a problem down at First Baptist. They was glad when I graduated from there. So I'd ask them questions all the time. I'd ask him questions like this. I just had an inquiring mind. I went to my preacher one day and I said, let me ask you a question. How come only deacons are males when all the Sunday school teachers are females? Why do y'all have people that don't know the Bible being the leaders of the church? Looks like to me Miss Blaine knows about Bible studies and the chairman of the deacons. All I saw them doing was smoking between the buildings. I asked these questions when I was 12. I was told to be quiet. I didn't know I was asking the wrong questions. I was just asking questions. Inquiring minds want to know. Always ask this question. Why does church have to be so boring? I mean, I'd sit there at 12 years old and I was going, I'm 7th, 8th grade, whatever it is, you know, I'm going. This is ridiculous. I couldn't understand the words the dude was talking about from the box. You know what I mean? Man, these big old long ecclesiastical type words. So I sat there like this for 30 minutes. I was really benefiting, wasn't I? Now, church was exciting because eventually 12 o'clock came around. And I was in a good church, and we had a contest to see who could get out at 5 to 12. It was between the downtown Methodist church and the downtown Baptist church. The preacher that stayed the longest got you out at 5 to 12 more frequently than the other one. Of course, the Methodist guy, they were transferring him in 3 years no matter what. But the Baptist guy, he was on free agency program. He could be gone at any time. So we had to learn to what? Humble ourselves and appreciate how God moves differently in each one of us, but the same results occur. Does that make sense? Now, you better know this. God opposes proud people. Don't be celebrating your accomplishments. And by the way, let me tell you what. If you're good at what you do, you don't have to tell anybody. Can I just tell you some truth? If you're good at what you do, you ain't got to tell anybody. You know? I've never heard Saint X run their mouth about anything. They just come on the football field and beat the tar out of you. And go home. in a big, nice charter bus with widescreen TVs on it. You know why? They don't have to tell you they're good. Their record shows it. Tom Landry, God rest his soul, coach of the Dallas Cowboys for many years, never spoke of how good his team was. He just wore the rings. I found that really accomplished athletes say little, and I found that wannabes talk all the time. I found that teams that are wannabes are always making noise with no action, and teams that are truly successful are just full of action. I have found that lives that make a lot of noise about Jesus are usually because they know him little, and then I have found lives that are submitted to Jesus go about their lives leaving his footprints behind every place they go. We need those kind of believers today, those kind of followers. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. It's all about grace. That's the way you get through. God has forgiven every one of us. None of us are worthy, but every one of us can be forgiven. That's the good news. Now look what he says. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. I want you to know, no matter how bad it gets, it will change someday. That's what he's saying to these believers. Don't listen to what they're saying about you. Don't leave Jesus Christ. Don't step away from the truth. God is going to lift you up. This is a temporary moment of pain. God's got an eternal blessing for you. Don't give in to the insignificant when the eternal resides in your soul. Amen? That'll help you resist, because look what he says. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. I wonder if we started casting our anxieties on God instead of just having circle groups about them, if we'd get rid of them. How many of y'all give your struggles to Jesus? Guess what? He already knows where you're weak. You'll get strong when you tell him that. How many of y'all all got a weakness? Man, I do. I got weaknesses. I wish I could tell you, man, I just live my faith without any tension. Man, I joined the Apostle Paul. My heart knows what to do, but sometimes it's hard to get my feet in that direction. How many of y'all have that struggle? Paul said, my spirit's guiding me to do what I know God wants me to do, but my mind's fighting me to do what I want to do. How many of y'all have that little tension? Well, what he says is stop and give those things to God, and then God will flow. See, here's what I'm thinking. I think we try too hard and don't flow enough. We try to fix our problem instead of let God flow through our problem. Does that make sense? Cast all your anxiety on him. Not some of it, all of it. How many of y'all are anxious? How many of y'all have ever done this? God, I feel real inferior in this moment. I just want to give that to you. Hey, listen, some of y'all are fixing to go to college. Guess what you're going to feel the first moment you step in that class? Jordan, it's going to be weird. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. You know, you go to high school, people talk in class, right? True? We did. They still do that? Yeah, I mean, classes start, you know, and they'd come in. I mean, everybody just having a good time, you know, throwing paper wads at each other. Good time. You go to college, and automatically, for some strange reason, everybody is sitting there facing forward, and they're quiet. You're looking around like, what's going on? Then they hand you this big, thick thing called a syllabi, or a syllabus. Depends where you're from. If you're from the East Coast, it's a syllabi. If you're at Western, it's a syllabus. It's got a bunch of assignments on it. I remember I read through the first syllabi I ever saw in my life, and there was like over 450 pages of reading. And this was one class. I thought, how ridiculous this professor is. Guess what I discovered? If you don't read it, you don't pass. 450 pages was 449 pages more than I'd ever read in my life. Because I just read the syllabi. It's what he says. Put your anxiety on him. Now look, how do we get through? How do we get through? Note this. How do we get through? He gives practical knowledge. He says you're going to get on through, lead on through, and be aware of your surroundings. Be self-controlled and alert. Know who you are, know where your weaknesses are, and be alert. How many of y'all get burned when you're not being alert? Here's three times I find when we get unaware. You get too tired. How many of y'all get too tired? You just keep on going, going, going. You get wore out, and then what happens to your brain? How many of y'all find it's easier to fall into temptation and sin when you get wore out? Number two, when you chemically alter your mind. That's like puffing dope.
You go, he's talking about puffing dope.
Let me get to Christians. Nerve pills do the same thing. See, the church has preached about alcohol and taking a bunch of nerve pills. Scott, remember when we passed together, we'd be up there, boy, I'd have these old ladies, these lovely old ladies, they'd be talking about, I can't believe all these boys are drinking. So they were taking a handful of nerve pills to get through the day. That's what they call them out in the country. Y'all ever heard that? These nerve pills. Now, in the city, those are Valium, but in the country, those are nerve pills. So you got Sister Lucy, she's zonked out on prescription medication. Can you be alert when you numb your mind? No, your mind's designed to be alert. Watch this. We in a whole racket of numbing the mind to cope with our pain. That's very popular in America. Any problem we got a pill for it. Here's what I want to tell you. Sometimes we need to feel our pain. God made pain to lead us to repentance. Maybe that's why we have so little repentance in the 21st century church, because we've become a group of pain dodgers instead of repenters. Don't numb it. Embrace it. It'll teach you. What do you think? I got some things I don't do anymore. You know why? Hurt too bad. Huh? How many of y'all learned it because it hurt bad? I'm glad to know that God created nerves in our hands, aren't you? So that when we put them on the grill while we're barbecuing, we're aware that they're not a part of the hot dogs. See what I'm saying? You don't want to have hot dogs and thumb all in the same meal. So you have nerves there, so when your hand hits the grill, what happens? That's pain. What do you do? Be alert. Be self-controlled. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. I mean, I realize there is a devil. He wants to bite you. What do you mean? He does. Gonna bite you. And what's the devil doing? He's looking around. Look, he doesn't have a plan. He's just looking around. You know what he's looking for? Somebody that's unaware. Somebody that's not paying attention. Somebody that's numb their mind. Somebody that's not alert. And what does he do? He roars. And he looks for somebody to devour. Now, let me help you with something. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, here's the devil's relationship with you. He's a lion wearing dentures. He can't kill you, but he can what? Bite you. He said, be careful, watch him. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You're not alone. How many of y'all ever done this before? Kind of done the Jonah thing or the Job thing. I'm the only one going through this. Nobody else goes through this in faith. And we like to get real cocky about it too, don't we? Lord, here I am. I've taken a stand with my children. And look, they hadn't made the team. The reason they didn't make the team is because they're not good. Has nothing to do spiritually. They couldn't run fast enough. They couldn't toss it fast enough. God doesn't play games like that. We do. We do. So God, thank God that my child is on the team, able to provide a godly influence. Because that child will probably give a loan someday to the star athlete. Or at least help him out of jail. How many of y'all have ever seen where all the victorious high school people go? I waved to a lot of my former teammates. I've waved to some of them as out there and working on the roadside. I got the wind of that. Hey, Rev! Hey, Bo! Because you know what? They're still doing the same stuff at 40 that they were doing at 14. At 40, they arrest you for that. At 14, they make you pick up cans. At 40, they make you pick up cans every day. There's a consequence to not being alert. Listen. The devil, he wants to trip you up. He wants to destroy you. He wants to devour you. Resist him. And look what he said. Verse 10, we'll get there. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, how long will it be? Then don't get all tore up about it. Will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast? Bottom line, you trust in God, and the glory will come out. Dr. Earl, I imagine when you were flying one of those bomber planes up in the air and there was a few others shooting at you, who'd you have to trust in? You didn't even really know God like you know Him now when you was up in the plane, did you? But guess what, Dr. Earl? He knew you before you knew Him. What do you think? He is in that cockpit whether you were aware or not. How many of y'all realize God knew you before you knew you? Huh? Kind of trip you out on it.
We don't like that as Americans. What do you mean He knew me before I knew me? He didn't know me till I walked the altar.
Ah, He knew you the moment you were conceived in the womb. He went, there's that one. And I love it. And I love her. Isn't that cool? You say, how do you know that? Jeremiah. Jeremiah started complaining to God, telling God how the world worked. And guess what God told Jeremiah? He said, boy, this is paraphrase, this is Ayers version. He said, boy, I knew you when you was in your mama's womb. I knew you when your hair follicles were being knitted together. Don't tell me what's going on down here. Jeremiah, you want to get it going on? You listen to me, because I'm not listening to you. I'm hearing you, but I'm not listening. My plan is greater for you than you can see at the moment. How many of y'all have had that experience? I had that here at Hillview. I whined a few times, more than once, especially in the early days. I was like, God, I can't believe you sent me here to Bowling Green, Kentucky. When am I going to get out of Bowling Green, Kentucky? It's not fair, God. I studied just as hard as some of those other guys in seminary. And they get to go here, and I got to stay here. I got 30 people, $500,000 of debt. Oh, that's real good, God. Let's impact the world with that. Now, guess what God had? God had a blessing beyond my puny mind. And let me tell you what, if I've learned anything else in life, hey, here's what I've known. I'm not real intelligent. Sometimes I'm not even real faithful. But let me tell you what. If you won't give up, you'll see it. I kind of pastored like I played football. I was slow. I wasn't real coordinated. So you know what I found? You hit your opponent one more time than they can be hit, you win. I come out of a ball game, they beat me to a pulp. But guess what? I'd let them beat me one more time. It's kind of like Rocky. By the fourth quarter, they got so tired of hitting me, they gave up. Guess what? Don't quit, and you'll see the glory. It may not be in the next year, but you'll see the what? Glory. Don't quit. Hillview, you know why we're still here as a church? We didn't quit. I don't plan on quitting until we take our last breath. Amen? And then when we take our last breath, guess what? The glory is revealed. So hang in there. Did that give anybody any hope today? And this is your Bible, Shane. What did I put in my Bible? It says the same thing. Yeah, I'm going to preach out of your Bible a minute, Shane. See if it says the same thing. It does. Verse 11. To him what? To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. That's a good place to close, isn't it? Hey, we did it in the name of Jesus. So let me tell you how we're supposed to act with one another. You ready? Look how they reacted. Let's finish it up. The final greeting. He says this. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends her greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Well, I'll do that in the church, amen? I'm not talking on the lips. But we ought to have that attitude. How many of y'all greet one another with a kiss? Yeah. You're my brother. You're my sister. We are to love one another as Christ has loved us. We are to stand firm. We are to stay in there, because when we do, we're going to get through, even if we suffer for a little while. We're to lead on, and when we become a leader, it's not for our personal gain, but it's so that the glory of God might be exposed. And guess what? We're going to be aware of there is a devil. He wants to trip us up. He wants to take us out. And when we do trip, what are we supposed to do when we trip? How many of y'all have ever tripped before? How many of y'all ever gotten bitten before? As a follower of Jesus, how many of y'all ever getting bitten by a lion as a follower of Jesus? Huh? I have been strolling around. You know, how many of y'all usually get bit by the lion when you get cocky? Ooh, that's a good Bible study. I believe I'm flowing with God. Sometimes the Lord lets a lion bite me just so I'll depend on Him. He says, oh, Ayers, you think you've strengthened up here? Well, here. I'm going to send you a cub first. And then all of a sudden, get it off, God, get it off! We can mess up real quick if we don't stay focused in heaven. If we do, don't quit. The glory of God will be revealed to us. Amen? Y'all got any questions? We've done 1 Peter. We're going to take on the Gospel of John one day. That's 23 chapters. We could preach it for 10 years. You know? But I want to give you an invitation because guess what? There's some people here that have yet to connect to Jesus Christ. How many of y'all are ready to connect to Jesus Christ? You know, some of you today, guess what? It's time to get baptized, time to get all this stuff put together, okay? I want you to know Christ. Because without Jesus, you don't have this power in your life. Amen. Now look, here's what you got to realize. How many of y'all realize you've sinned? Yes. So it's the first step you got to go, okay, I've sinned. Now, as soon as I say that, some of y'all are doing this right here. I hear it in the atmosphere. Well, I'm just as good as some people in this church. You're better than a lot of them. I know them. You're probably better than me. But that's not salvation. Salvation says we've all sinned. How many of y'all realize we've all sinned because we broke the Ten Commandments? God said, here's the ten. Here's my top ten. How many of y'all broke any of them? First one's have no other gods before me. If you're a UK fan, you broke that one. How many of y'all have worshipped something more than God? We all have. And it goes on, you know, stealing stuff and lying about stuff and just the stuff we get into. We've all had a moment with that, yeah? Guess what? If you broke one, you broke all ten. So you stand separated from God. Here's what Jesus said. I want to bring you to life. So since you're dead, I'm going to bring you to life. Here's the way Jesus did that. He died on the cross and forgave us of our what? Sins. Jesus said, I'm going to step in. Watch this. You've got to understand the crucifixion. People ask me all the time, why did Jesus have to die? Because you and I were already dead. You understand that? See, sin killed us. And so Jesus stepped into what we would have to experience to be the total sacrifice so we could have life. What do you think about that, Nathan? And then on the third day, He rose again. What's He telling us by that resurrection that we sang about today? It's true. There's power in it. That's exactly right. Think about it. Isn't that what God does to our lives when we say, Lord Jesus, come into my life? He forgives us of our sin and resurrects us into being what we could not be by ourselves. Wow! And then He says this, I will not leave you no matter what. And we get better every day, even when we trip up. Amen? So if you need to ask Christ in your life, we're going to have a prayer, and I encourage you to do that today. If you've already asked Christ in your life, you need to be baptized. You need to be obedient to that, okay? You need to be obedient to that. Okay, don't be doing this game right here. Well, I believe in Jesus Christ, but I'm unwilling to be obedient to Him. What do you believe in? Huh? What do you believe in? Baptism, first step of obedience. There's a lot of others after that. It's important. Maybe you need to come today because you've gotten bitten by the lion. How many of y'all ever get nipped at? Yeah. I guess what you need to do when you get nipped? How many of y'all want the lion to get his jaws off your legs? Repent. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I went the wrong way. I made the wrong decision. I had a bad moment in my life. This is not what you want for my life. Lord Jesus, I thank you for forgiving me of that. I just want you to know I'm aware of that, and I'm going to stand strong on that, and I know you're going to clean me up in this area. Amen? This particular church is not about doing sin spotting. It's about helping people get clean from their sins. Amen? We all got it. I know you got it. I got it. And what do we got to do? We got to confess it because Jesus is faithful and just and will cleanse us from our sin. That sounds like a great deal to me, amen? I don't know about y'all, but when I get dirty, I take a bath. How many of y'all take a bath when you get dirty? Please tell me yes. Huh? You, because if you don't take a bath when you're dirty, what happens? What happens, Pat? Stay dirty? Pat's so sweet. She's so elegant. You stay dirty. What else? Thank you, Nathan. Here we go. We got to go over to Nathan. You don't take a bath, you what? Stink! Can y'all handle that at 8 o'clock in the morning? How many of y'all leave sin in your life? What's it start doing after a while? Mm-hmm. You go, what's that smell? Stinking sin. And if you smell it, you ought to praise God. You know why? If you smell it, it means it doesn't fit you. And if it doesn't fit you, that means you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And if you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that means God wants to get that out of you so you can live in the cleanliness that He's designed for you. That's good news. Amen. Don't try to hide your sin. That won't work either. Guess what it'll do? It'll pester you. So come to the altar and say, Lord, this is the area of my life where I hear the line real loud. Help me stand strong in there. Lord, it's where I've been bitten. Get it off of me and heal me. And I'm not going back there again. For God works with us. Amen. Let's stand together. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, today it's been a wonderful day of just hearing Your Word and knowing that those believers held up in a very difficult day. A day of Roman persecution. And so, Lord, I invite anybody now to the altar that needs to come. Listen, if you've never received Jesus, today's your day of going to heaven. Just ask Him into your life. Lord Jesus, today I believe that You died on the cross for me. And I know I've messed up and I've sinned. And Lord, I ask You to come into my life and forgive me of my sin. Lord, I believe You came back to life on the third day. You're alive, Lord, and I want You in my life. Please come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. If you're doing that right now, He's working. Maybe you doubt God, then this would be a good prayer. God, I don't believe You're real. Show up and show me You're real. That'll work too. I trust God to show Himself. Maybe today you need to come and say, God, you know what? I've been bitten by that lion and I need to go on. And so God, help me just be healed right now. So right now I just want to open this altar. You may need to come for baptism. Right now this altar's open. And let's come and pray for a minute. Let's thank God that we can get through. Amen. I thank God that these are temporary moments and eternal glory's coming. But until then, let's love God richly. Come on, church, this altar's open. Let's come forward right now. The altar's released. It's open. It's your time to come and pray. Come and ask God to just cleanse you, to come and pray with your family, your children. Most of all, a great time to come and receive Christ, a time to come and be baptized, a time to realize the Holy Spirit can be loosed in your life. Right now, Jesus, just cleanse our hearts. It's in Your name we pray. Lord, I pray that You will put on our minds and our hearts the places that we need to be healed and forgiven. So right now, Lord, just forgive folks that have had places in their lives that hurt real bad. Lord, I pray those who need to be baptized will come to be baptized. Those who need to be saved for the first time receiving Jesus will come and be saved. Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray against the line that there be no guilt, no shame in this place, because that's not of You. Healing and redemption are of You, God. Lord, release healing in our church. Release cleansing in our church. Release Your power in our church right now at this altar, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come on. Come on.